But my title today is, We Need Each Other. We need each other. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you realize that we need each other. And that you created the church for that, to meet that need, to provide what we need in order to live this life, to live a godly life, to live a holy life, to grow and to know you, Lord. You have done all that you know to do. You have given us all that we need, Lord, to be successful. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look at the biblical precedent before us, we have Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Now, we had finished up a long series on the book of Acts. But I'm still going back to Acts for this very foundational principle it says, and day by day, this is Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So we see attending the temple. This would be our temple. Then it says breaking bread in their homes, generous hearts. Then we have again, we see in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, and every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. When I see this, I see a lot of things. I see, number one, they came to church. They got under that corporate anointing, as many would call it. Then they went home to home or house to house. Basically mean they went in small groups. They got together where a lot of intimacy could take place and a lot of transparency can take place. You know, where you can actually sit down and say, I got this stress and this pressure, which you can't really do that a lot of times here on a Sunday morning as we come. But the first thing is the pattern, the biblical pattern of why we do what we do. The second point is community. We are developing spiritual community. Now, the Webster 1828, the famous Webster Dictionary, says this about community. A society, defining it, a society of people having common rights and privileges or common interests, civil, political, or ecclesiastical, or living under the same laws and regulations. In other words, we are a community of people. We work together. We talk together. We worship together as a community. And part of what we do on Sunday mornings is building community. What we do during the life groups is building community where you can know somebody beyond just yourself. I love this quote from a theologian here. And he goes, God's purpose for his people is that they be brought together into a corporate body, a human community, rather than remaining as isolated individuals. Isolated individuals. When you a community, a spiritual community provides for you support. You need somebody to say, hang in there, man. You can make it. You can do it. You can overcome. You can make it through this moment in your life. And you can't do that unless you got spiritual community. You need that spiritual community for support. It also provides for you relationships. Like I thought about Jack Sparrow. Nobody trusts him and he doesn't trust anybody. That's not the body of Christ. We need to have relationships one to another. Know somebody that we can call on. My greatest friends are in this room and I can call you at a drop of a dime and say, I am under something. And they would be there in a second to lift me up and to believe God to get me over the hump. Say, Eddie, you the pastor. You shouldn't have those struggles. Well, let me tell you something. I got a bunch of struggles. Don't lift me up. Lift up Jesus. We all got our issues. We all have our moments of struggle. And we need that relationship of people that we can trust. Now, I'm not saying you need to go around and have 20 best friends and tell everybody you're junk. I'm jacked up, so I'm going to tell 20 people about it. I'm not saying you have to do that. But God will give you some close individuals in relationship that you can talk to, that you can be with, no matter what field you're in, no matter what your, You know, it's just something about being able to sit down with somebody and there not to be a recording going on. Recorded everything you're saying. There's something about that. That's why it's important for community, for getting in a small group, getting a meeting with people. Gives us spiritual community. There's also an accountability that comes. Oh, no. Don't say that word, accountability. When's the last time you read your Bible? Somebody to ask you, when's the last time you read your Bible, son? When's the last time you prayed? Oh, well, it's been sort of busy. You're struggling because you're not reading your Bible and praying. Come on, grab a hold of God. Sometimes you just need somebody to come in and say, go read your Bible. But there's an accountability. I mean, I have accountability with my wife or my spouse, but there's also accountability you need with other brothers and other sisters out there that you need that you can talk to and you can communicate with. What you're watching on TV. Oh, no. What you're reading. What you're looking at on the internet. Ooh, that's something. I mean, what are you doing, guys and gals? You need somebody that can talk to you and ask you point blank, what you doing? And that's what accountability is for. That's what life groups do. They bring you into an environment where you make yourself voluntarily accountable to other people. And for some people, you need a spiritual family. Some people did not grow up in a family that was godly. They don't have an example of godly parents or godly relationships. And the church in many ways provides that for them. When I talk to all of you here who are more senior, let's put it that way, you've been married longer. People are looking at you. These young people are watching how you interact. They're watching how you interact with each other and your children. Because some of them don't have the example that you can provide for them. So that's a little side note. But anyway, for those of you who are my age and older, you need to be an example. So we need to provide a spiritual environment where people can see spiritual family, if you want to use that terminology. This community of believers that we can come and do. We could be together. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls when there is not another to lift him up. Furthermore, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Sometimes we need each other to that we can pull us up when we're down. And if you keep on going into verse 12, if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. A cord of three strands is not easily torn apart. Three strands. It's a whole lot easier for three of us to get on a rope and hold than it is for one guy to hold back on a tug of war. And so it's great to have, you need to have hands linked together that are holding each other. Stand up, Blake. Now, if I'm standing here, you know, somebody could easily push me, but if I'm holding on to Blake, at the same time the devil's pulling me like this, I'm not going to go anywhere. Now, I can pull him a little bit, but Michelle's standing right up here. There's nothing like your wife to keep you straight now, I'm telling you something right now. If she's holding on there, I can't pull both of them. That's what we're talking about, people. Thank you. Thank you. We're talking about pulling. There's this drift. There's this drift, I like to call it, that can come into your life. I don't know what it is about us. Well, I do. Let me just back up. I do know what it is about us. We have a sinful nature, and we have to be born again so that we can be saved and God can change our hearts and transform us into a new person so that the old man has passed away. Behold, the new man has come. There's a born again. I'm no longer a son of the devil. I'm a son of Christ. And I have been born again, and the Spirit of God comes to live inside of me. And at that moment, I am a new creature in Christ. But, there's a big but, there's this old flesh, this old man, old woman down inside of us that wants to pull us away from Christ. So there's this, I call it this spiritual drift that we can all get into, where we can be pulled away from God. And what about small groups and accountability keeps us from the drift. Keeps us. I've seen people drift. I've seen a lot of people drift. I felt myself drifting in the past. I pulled myself back because I had you know, accountability. But there's when somebody gets out there by themselves and they say, I'm not going to come to church, or I'm mad at every church, and therefore I'm not going to go to any of them, and or I'm hurt, or I just want to be by myself, nobody's right, they get a little bit weird. I'm just being honest with you. I start having their own stuff there, saying some stuff. I'm like, wow. And I said, you need to get under some help, get with some other people so y'all can bounce these ideas off of one another. You know, so keep away from the drift. So if you don't get anything out of this sermon today, stay away from the drift. All right, let's don't drift away from Jesus. The third thing I want to point out to you today is our mission statement says to exalt God by equipping his people to extend his kingdom. In life groups, we exalt God together. By us worshiping God, we exalt God together here on Sunday morning, and then when we're involved in life groups, it's part of the corporate anointing that comes when we worship together. There's something about worshiping Jesus together. There's something about it, and it is hard to define in many ways, but there's a unity of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, has fellowship within the triune Godhead. Therefore, definitely, we need that as well. That's the pattern upon which he gave us, the triune God. Right, Hebrews chapter 10 says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds, not forsaking our assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Encouraging one another. Matthew 18. I love this. And he says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that he may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. And that's a whole sermon series in and of itself right there, that one sentence, that one verse. But what I want to point out is verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. So where two or three are gathered. Again, we look at our Sunday morning corporate worship, and we look at our small group ministries that we have. The second thing under this heading of our mission statement is equipping. Part of why we do life groups and we do the growth track is so that we can equip ourselves. We can learn together. I can learn how to worship God. I tell you what, if I go to Billy Simpson's life group, I'm going to learn how to worship God. I'm going to learn how to be in the presence of God. If I go to different events, different things, each group has their own sort of focus and what they're looking at, but it's all based and centered around Jesus. Right. You can go out and do a motorcycle group for all I care, long as you're talking about Jesus before you take off and you're talking about him when you get back. That's all I care about. Free market. You can do whatever you want, long as Jesus is the head. And Jesus is where we're focused on. But there is this equipping part that we can't do by ourselves. We need each other. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron. So one man sharpens another. That just shows we need that sandpapering sometimes. Most of mine comes from my home life. My wife straightens me out. But anyway, there's always this aspect of sandpaper, this aspect of iron sharpening iron, this aspect that we need each other. Right. So what's the theme of this sermon today? We need each other. Yeah. What's the big idea today? We need each other. When you walk out here today, what are you going to say Eddie's sermon was about?
We need each other.
All right. Tell you what, when I preach, I just want to make sure you walk out of here knowing what I talked about today. That's why I like, repeat it back to me today. Let me make sure you know. And the third part of this is extending. We need to unify together, to serve people, to have kindness and respect for people so that we can extend his kingdom, so that we can go out and share our faith together. And we do that through church on Sunday morning. We do that through our life group ministries. We do that because that's where real work comes forth. That's where the real digging down and letting God get into our lives comes forth in a small group setting. Obviously, there's things that I will say in a small group that I would never say up here in front of everybody. Hopefully I wouldn't say anything unbiblical in a small group, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, there's more of a transparency. There's more of a digging down. There's more of a, let's get involved. Let's get together. Right. And you say, Eddie, I just don't have the time. And let me understand, I have all the respect in the world. There's some schedules that are just impossible to do that. But if there's one person you can at least meet with, if you can't get in a life group, find somebody you can meet with on a regular basis. Right. You know, you might just impossibly be in a life group, but you can find somebody that you can connect with, that you can meet with, that you can pray with, that you can have some accountability with. This, you know, we can work it out however God wants to work it out in your life. Part of our job here, we feel in GCF Church, is to provide you an avenue from which you can go and you can get a part of a small group or a life group. If that doesn't work, like I said, we can work out finding an individual you can meet with. But we don't want to do this thing alone. We don't want to do it alone. We're always more successful when we do it together. Because we need each other. We need each other. Let me read this quote to you. It says, taken as a whole, the Bible asserts that God directs his program to the bringing about a community in the highest sense of the world. A redeemed people living within a renewed creation, enjoying the presence of our God. Enjoying the presence of our God. That's what community is all about. That's what Sunday morning is about. That's what life groups are about. That's what individual discipleship is all about, is developing a community of believers where we can strengthen one another. We can encourage one another. And we're not out there being the Rambos and thinking we can take them all down. Or, you know, we can take down the devil by ourselves or whatever. But we are working together as a band of brothers or as a band of sisters. I'm on the movies thing tonight, aren't I? But, you know, something that we can work together and be together. Now, coming up, of course, after in just a few moments, we're going to have our life group fair. But before I do that, I want to just give you a brief thing. We have a thing called our growth track, which involves our life groups. It involves several different classes we offer on Sunday morning as a way to train you. Many of you are new and have not seen this video before, but I wanted to show it to you again before we break for the life groups in case you might want to jump in and be a part of this. This is just one of the many things that we do as far as our life group. If you could go ahead and play that jar, Michael, I appreciate it.
Our growth track at GCF Church has four components: life groups, first step, next step, and leader step. The curriculum of Leader Step is designed to equip believers to be ministers, to do what they already have a desire to do but don't feel equipped to do.
What the Growth Track class has done for me is really awakened a sense of urgency for the lost outside of the four walls of our church and what that means in terms of discipleship and going and telling for me individually.
One of the things I've learned from this class is intentionality. Being intentional about mentoring people in my sphere of influence, and also being intentional about engaging with people, even strangers, because you never know who God might have in mind for you to minister to at any point in time.
The beauty of these courses is that God doesn't need much, he just needs somebody willing to step out. And these courses equip you with competent ministry skills and tools to be proactive in this adventure that God's writing.
It is designed to help people where they are, not to do and be something they're not, but to use those gifts, the talents that they already have, the passions that they have, to be influencers, to be disciple makers right where they are.
To come together with other individuals with the same heart, it really teaches you that you're all in it together, and the church and the body of Christ works together simultaneously to do the mission which God has called us to.
So if you take this leadership class, I feel like you will be encouraged, as I was, to think outside your box, to be an effective disciple for God.
So this really is for anyone who desires to be used by God, who wants to be salt and light in the earth. Leader Step is designed for you. If you're ready to get started and wanted to learn more about our growth track, please please visit our Growth Track table in the back, where you can learn about our life groups, First Step, Next Step, and Leader Step, and the classes we'll be offering this semester.
All right, so as you can see there's actually three classes that we offer that focus on different things. They'll be at the table back in the back. You can look at that. We're also going to have a variety of different life groups. Some will be meeting on Sunday morning. Some will be meeting at various times throughout the week. The Growth Track will be starting on the 18th. There's different levels, First Step, Next Step. Anyway, go check it out today and see where you may can slide in and be a part. You also notice you got this when it came in a fall schedule. Let me highlight something on this for you. We're having our annual Hope Together Sunday, October the 2nd. That's a Sunday where we're going to have an outreach to the community. We're going to have a pig picking. Thank God we're New Testament Christians and we can eat some pig in Eastern North Carolina. Where's my pig cooker? Stuart Elks back here, our chef back there. But we're going to have that. We're going to have some cards for you to invite people. So over the next month, we're going to be putting out advertisements. We're going to be out inviting people. This is a great opportunity for you to reach out and touch someone, if you want to say it that way, and grab them and bring them into church so we can serve them and reach out to your neighbors. We'll have some guest cards and all those kind of things. So if we could, let's stand and I'll pray and I'll dismiss you here early so you can look around. The children's ministry will be going on for another 15 minutes. So you should have plenty of time for all the parents if you want to look around and see what's available for you there. So let me pray. Before I pray also, if you're a guest with us this morning, thank you so much for coming this morning. If you could turn your guest card in back at our information center, we have a gift for you for coming this morning, our way of thanking you. So let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for every individual that's here. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your hand is upon every person, that every person has a calling, every person has a destiny in God, every person has your gifting upon their life to accomplish something and to do something for them, no matter what field it is, no matter where they are in their life. Lord, we know that you're there and you're with them, Lord Jesus. Well, I pray for those, Lord, if there's someone here today who doesn't have relationships where they can trust, they can depend on, somebody they can trust, Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would use this life group fair to connect them with people who need, people that will be willing to serve them and love them. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your presence that was here this morning, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your presence here during our worship. Thank you, Jesus, that you're a good God. And I just want to say today, before we dismiss, if you say, Eddie, I have not given my life to Jesus, and I need to get my life right today, I need to turn my life over to him, I want you to just raise your hand right now. Nobody's looking at you. That's you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Pray this prayer with me. Those of you who raise your hand, you can put your hand down and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry that I've turned away from you. And I ask you to forgive me. Just say it in your heart and hymn after me. I ask you to forgive me. Thank you, Jesus, that you have forgiven me. Thank you that you died on the cross for me. And from this day forward, I commit my life to you. I give my life to you. I repent, turn from my sin, and I follow after God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.